All right, can the folks online hear us?
Yes.
All right, we didn't make it that far without y'all. So our first item was approval of the agenda. It was moved by Michelle and seconded by Kayla. The four of us voted in favor of approval of the agenda, and we were wanting responses from the folks online. If you could say yes or no.
Means yes.
Tanis, yes.
Lewis, yes.
Leon, yes.
Thank you so much. All right. Up next, we have approval of the August 21st meeting minutes. Can I get a motion?
I'm showing the minutes online.
Motion by Strickland.
Brown, second.
Okay. We'll start the vote online.
Yes.
Leon, yes.
Okay. And to my left.
Proctor, yes.
Strickland, yes.
Brown, yes.
Brooks, yes. All right, up next, we've got the calendar for the 2026 TCC meetings.
We basically have, normally, every meeting would be the third Thursday, except I think December, because of the holidays, so we have to move it up.
Brown, motion to approve.
Second, Strickland.
Okay, we'll start to left.
Proctor, yes.
Strickland, yes.
Holm, yes.
Brooks, yes.
Lewis, yes.
Anybody else online?
Connie, yes.
Mains, yes.
Leon, yes. It's hard not to talk over each other, Dean.
Thank y'all, yeah. It's a little different in virtual space. All right, we only got two more action items, so I believe in us. We will be going on to the 2050 MTP amendments.
Okay, I'm just going to open that report. So we received several MTP amendment requests, but before I go into them, I'll just go into the process of an MTP amendment or change.
A second, we're not seeing your presentation.
Hmm?
We're not seeing whatever you're talking about.
Oh, you can't see it?
No.
Okay, we'll get it figured out, but if we can't get it to show, I can just speak in more detail. We're working on getting it figured out.
Thank you for your patience.
I guess for the sake of time, we have the report and the amendment. Dana, it's just an administrative with Belfast Keller at I-95, correct?
Asia.
Oh, she ran away.
Yep.
Yes, there's a, I can, if we can't bring it up on the screen, then I can just describe it. But one is the Belfast Care, Keller project from GDOT. And the other, was, several projects from Effingham County. I don't remember the costs off the top of my head, but from the corn peel analysis, we can process the Belfast Keller Road project because it won't impact the financially constrained projects in the plan. But for the Effingham County projects, we need some more information. Oh, can everyone see the screen now? It's not sharing.
It's not sharing the screen.
And if you go on the MPO website, you can access the agenda and scroll and follow along.
Are there any questions on the 2050 MTP amendment? I want to go ahead and make the motion.
So we just need to endorse, correct?
This is Brown. I'll make a motion to endorse the amendment.
Holm, second.
All right. Start the vote to the right.
Holm, yes.
Brown, yes.
Strickland, yes.
Proctor, yes.
Brooks, yes.
Lewis, yes.
Brown, yes.
Sanez, yes.
Sorry, y'all. Wakoda was just saying our IT person's on vacation, so we're it's like we're all on vacation.
Technologically illiterate leader.
The agenda items are available online, so if anybody has any questions, they're available to view them there. If you want to talk us through the TIP amendments, and we can, that'll be our last action item. And then we can work on this before we get into the status reports.
Okay. Like Chairwoman Deanna Brooks said, you can go on the MPO website and access the agenda. So next, we're moving into the TIP amendments. So we only received two TIP amendments. One was from the I-95 at Belfast Keller Road project from GDOT that we just amended into the 2050 MTP. And the other is a Chatham County project, which is the Garrard Avenue Improvement Project. So the TIP amendment is for the GDOT project, which is the Belfast Keller Road project, is to amend that project into the TIP and the funds associated with that project into the TIP. And then for the Garrard Avenue Improvement Project, that amendment is to move funds from one fiscal year into fiscal year 2027. So if you are seeing the report, we show the updated project pages, the correspondence between the MPO and Chatham County and GDOT. And we also show that both projects are consistent with the 2050 MTP. So Belfast Keller Road, again, it was just amended into the 2050 MTP today. And then Garrard Avenue is also already consistent with the 2050 MTP. We also are in a comment period for the TIP amendments, but we haven't received any public comment.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You get a motion to endorse.
Then Mayor Strickland.
Brown, second.
Start to the left.
Proctor, yes.
Strickland, yes.
Brown, yes.
Holm, yes.
Brooks, yes.
Dion, yes.
Sanez, yes.
Lewis, yes.
Keith, are you still there?
Okay, that was still good. All right, sounds good. All right, that brings us to our action items. Can you folks online see the screen now?
Yes, yeah, I can see.
Okay, yes. Awesome. That moves us into our status reports. Up first, we've got the US 80 corridor study phase two.
Okay, US 80 corridor study phase two is ongoing. The last milestone is we did have the traffic data collection completed in August. That actually during the last TCC meeting, that was when that data was collected. And the consultant provided this status report. And another thing that we did was GDOT kicked off the US 80 corridor study west of Effingham County and Bryan County line. And I think all the way to passing the Hyundai plant. So we actually had a coordination meeting with them. So in terms of data collection and then analysis and the projection, we will share data and share information with that study to go coordinate with that study. And then the next thing on the agenda is we're going to have a coordination meeting with Georgia High-Low Trail. And that's part of the analysis, and it's included in the scope, and it will be October the 30th. So we have invited the BPAC chairperson and the MPC's bike path coordinator, Asia, and then also the bicycle and pedestrian facility study project manager from CROI to participate in that meeting. So basically that's all the things. We are working, actually the consultants are working on the existing conditions report. The draft report should be ready in December, but the formal presentation probably will be in February.
Thank you. Next, the urban flood model phase two.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Subhashi Karunaratna, and I will be giving the updates on the urban flood model phase two. So we kicked off the study in July 3rd, and that's why we had three monthly meetings. And the team of UGA and GMC have completed these tasks, starting with the project management plan and the project schedule and quality assurance and quality control plan. They also are reviewing the phase one GIS data and other materials. So since the previous study was conducted by UGA members, they have been internally gathering all that information. And also, the infrastructure strategy guide has reached its first draft phase. So the first draft is almost 70% complete. And those were the project updates on the tasks. We also met with the Effingham County engineers to talk about the flood model. They gave us a lot of information about projects that they want to focus on. And thus far, that's all I have to report. And the project is supposed to be concluded by 2027, March 31st. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for Subhashi? All right. Up next, bicycle and pedestrian facility study.
So CROI Engineering, which is the consultant agency that is managing this project, they submitted a presentation, and they gave this presentation at the BPAC and COPIC committees on Tuesday. So I'll go into it briefly, maybe not in as much detail as CROI Engineering, who made the presentation, and just hit on some of the highlights. So just a general project overview. So this project aims to take inventory of biking and walking infrastructure throughout the region and integrate it together. So it's an inventory study. It's also an assessment study. So it's going to be assessing the condition of the bike lanes and sidewalks and crosswalks, And then also doing a needs assessment in terms of where we need that infrastructure. So everything in this red boundary, that is where the study is happening. So the deliverables of this project include creating a GIS database with all of this information that we can maintain and keep up with, just because one of the reasons why we did the study is because it's very easy for pedestrian and bike infrastructure data to get out of date. And then also do some public outreach and then create a prioritized project recommendation list. Here are some of the study goals. So establish inventory of our bicycle and pedestrian facilities, integrate and unify some of the regional planning efforts. There are a lot of different bicycle and pedestrian planning efforts going on throughout the region, and so this is kind of putting them all in one place. Doing some public engagement. Trying to strengthen connectivity just because not all of our facilities are connected. And then using equitable factors and data-informed project prioritization to list the projects that are needed most. And then also to create a maintainable database of all of this inventory data. So in terms of timeline, we are currently leaving the inventory update phase. So that means collecting where those facilities exist. So where are our sidewalks, where are our bike lanes, where are our crosswalks? And from there, Croy Engineering is about to begin their needs assessment. So that's doing that gap analysis, looking at maintenance needs, and other information from analyzing the inventory. And so the overall project is the aim is to finish it by December 2026, so next year. This is the collection of the plans and studies that Croy Engineering used for their literature review. So again, there's a ton of bicycle and pedestrian studies and plans going on in the area. And so that was some of the background data that they used to complete this study. So that includes projects throughout Effingham, like Effingham's bicycle and pedestrian plans, Chatham Area Transit, their bus stop facility study information, and then some of the projects going on in Savannah and Corrin Peel, like the non-motorized transportation plan. So this is just some background into their methodology of how they did that inventory study. They basically split everything up into zones and then did their review and assessment zone by zone. So moving into the inventory highlights from that splitting up, I'll zoom in just so it's a little bit more visible. These are their preliminary inventories. So again, this is not the needs assessment. We don't know necessarily the condition yet. We haven't gotten that information yet, but this is location data. So location of sidewalks in the blue and then location of bike lanes in the green. So this is just a PDF, but we could, once the data is more finalized and it's not preliminary anymore, which that's going to be soon, we can share this out. But just from looking at the images, we can see that the most sidewalk and bike lane density tends to be in the Savannah area. And then as you move out west, it's a little bit more subdivision focused. So there's not really connection between the subdivisions. It'll kind of just be its own island of sidewalks, and then everything else is pretty empty. And then here is just a better look at some of the bike lane data. So similar situation where the most bike infrastructure density is in Savannah, and there's actually very little bike infrastructure out west, even compared to the sidewalk inventories. So Croy Engineering did say that because right now all of the bike lane data is kind of merged, so it's not distinguishing between the separated bike lanes or the barrier separated bike lanes and just kind of a painted bike lane. So that's something that they said they would do in the future, is provide another map showing where those separated facilities are and where the ones that are not separated are. Okay, zooming out, So one of the next phases that they're moving into is public outreach. So they're going to do in-person public outreach, but we're going to focus on the online outreach that they're doing. So they're going to do surveys. So one is going to be a traditional survey on SurveyMonkey, and that's going to be released this month. And the other one is going to be an interactive comment map on Social Pinpoint, which I'm personally really excited about because I haven't had too much experience with Social Pinpoint, so I want to see what it can do, basically. So these are the public engagement online survey questions, the draft questions for that survey. So we actually showed these to the Bicycle and Pedestrian Committee and the Community Opportunities Committee, and they gave their input on these. So these are not the final questions based on their input. But one request that CROI Engineering had was that if you have any comments about these questions, like if you feel like something is missing or maybe there's some way that the question should be edited, just to send those comments their way or my way, and then I can send it to them. So they're going to have general questions about where people live and how they travel, comfort, barriers, and safety, connectivity and access-related questions, priorities, and then some demographic questions. So this is just a snapshot of the Social Pinpoint map survey, which is basically where you have a map and you can put pins and then put either if you have a safety concern or a connectivity concern or maybe even an ID and an opportunity. So they also wanted to know if this was the number of categories was a good number of categories. Is it too many, too little? And is their wording something that people will understand for when using the survey? So the next steps is finalizing the quality assurance of the inventory data. They did tell us that the inventory data that I showed was about 95% complete, but they're still going to do some final reviews to make sure the quality of that data is good. Also, the first project advisory group meeting is going to be on October 23rd, and then the next big steps are launching that public survey, doing some in-person public outreach, and then doing that needs assessment to see what we need from a maintenance standpoint and a connectivity standpoint. So that's the end of this presentation. If you have any questions or comments, the project manager, Amy Turner, she has her email here, and then you can also just email me.
I just have one comment. We use Social Pinpoint for Safe Streets for All, and I really liked it. But looking at your categories, maybe consider one for where people think they need signals for ped safety, whether that be pedestrian signals or rapid flashing beacons. That might be a category of interest to users.
Okay.
Does anybody else have anything on the bike ped study?
No, just one thing I wanted to point out, because on the map, like Asia said, there wasn't differentiation between the different types of facilities. And we also noticed that some of them are planned facilities, but not actual existing facilities. Like you can see here, they put in that Truman Trail Phase 3 going down the Truman Parkway in 204, which is not a facility. So what we're trying to do is it just compressed all of the layers. So just in case anybody is alarmed looking at that graphic, like I kind of was, we're pulling out the different layers of what is an actual physical facility, what's planned, and the differentiation between those.
Sounds good. Thank you. All right. Thank you so much, Asia. Up next, the call for projects for 2027-2030 TIP development.
Okay, I will keep the presentation on the call for projects. The deadline for projects of middle ended last Friday. So by the end of the deadline, we actually received a lot of applications. At least for STPG, we received 4 applications from Chatham County, around 15 from Effingham County. And then for TA, we also received, I think, the 15 from Effingham County and 1 from Chatham County. And then for the carbon reduction program, 3 from Chatham County and probably 15 from Effingham County. And then on Wednesday, actually this past the deadline, we received the application from Pooler. So staff are actually working on checking the completeness and eligibility. So I can show you the screen for the STPG because I'm working on the STPG. Asia is working on the transportation alternatives and the supply chain is working on carbon reduction. So I have listed all of these projects over here. So as far as I am checking, all four Chatham County's projects, Old River Road, Whitening, President Street, State Route 204, Johnny Mercer Boulevard are all eligible because all the information is complete and lab certification documentation is included, and all the information is included. So those four are eligible. Effingham County also provided the local match support letter with the Old River Road because there would be a cost to share for local match. So that one is complete, that one is complete, that one is complete. For Effingham County projects, the rest of Effingham County projects, the information are not complete. So we are asking, coordinating with Effingham County to complete all of that information. So make sure that you check all the boxes and make sure you include the location map. Make sure that you include the signature page. We give them the deadline of this week. So basically by 5 o'clock this Friday, so they need to provide us all that information. For Pooler project, we also included over here, the Pooler project is a capacity project. If it's an operational improvement project, it probably will satisfy the requirement, the plan consistency requirement. But now, this project is included in the vision plan, which is not partially, which is not part of the constraint 2050 MTP. So I don't think we can accommodate it. If Pooler submitted late, but if it's eligible, we would still want to give them the opportunity. But that is the case. So our suggestion is probably ask Pooler to start the request to amend the project into the 2050 MTP. Remember, when we processed the 2050 MTP in August, we noticed that like State Route 21, we have a lot of state funding. That means that those revenues can be released so some other projects can be accommodated. So I think we would just move on with that. So we need to get the project amended first. For the Effingham County projects, they have been amended into the non-motorized transportation plan. And one of those is the roundabout is consistent with the 2050 MTP operational set-aside. Their problem is the incomplete information. And another thing that I do want to mention, the Effingham County, they're competing against each other because you're submitting 15 projects, so they're not prioritized. So I would suggest that you probably only submit like 5 top priority projects because you're competing against yourselves, basically. So that's the consideration. But I did put, haven't put all of the information in, just requested funding over here. So we have about $4 million available for the STPG each year. So you can see the requested amounts already. If you add up all 5 years, it's almost probably $100 million. So we cannot accommodate all of that. So there will be a lot of competition. So that's why I suggest that you probably reduce your number of applications and probably send some applications to the GDOT call for project TA because their pot of money is bigger. So we can probably utilize that. So otherwise you would be competing against yourselves. So.
Can we just provide the prioritization for the 15 and just let it play out?
Yeah, that can do too. But it's just like I said, because for the STPG funding, I don't think the criteria, I have the criteria over here. So I don't think the criteria really benefit a lot of the bike path projects. You're competing with highway projects, so it just I would say if you have like higher priority ones that will be to your benefit.
Okay.
So just consider that and give us the answer by Friday.
For the operational funds that are available for the roundabout, I mean, is that do we just need to request operational?
That
funds?
One, yes, that one can stay.
Because in the letter I put STGB.
STBG, yes.
Is that the correct?
Yes, that's the correct one. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So that one actually I have already included over here. So you can see that roundabout project. So just want to make sure On page 6, you have the requested funds. And then the last page, you have the detailed budget. Make sure your requested amount and on those pages match. For Polar as well, they requested the total funds, but they are only providing the local match for the PE phase. So in that case, we can probably only, even if we give you the funds, that's only for the PE phase. So we are trying to compile all of this information by the end of the week. We were supposed to post all of this information online next week so that we can start the project scoring and review, considering that our IT is on vacation. So we might not get that done next Monday. But it will be done next week. So we might, the review period might delay by several days. And another thing that we're compiling, Asia is working on an story map because we have a lot of information over here that require please use the 2050 MPP freight crash map for reference. So we are going to compile that information and that will be posted online. So when you start to rank the project, you can just reference that. Click on that one. It will give you the information so that you can give the scores. Another thing that I do want to mention for the transportation alternatives program, Asia has already secured 5 members from BPAC and COPIC to serve on the review committee. We haven't talked about who will serve on the SDBG and carbon reduction committees, but I would say because since Chatham County, you probably definitely be because you do have your projects in line. But if you have several people rank the project, make sure you only submit one set of scores to us. And the Quorum PO will probably do one. We suggest that Effingham County, because your projects will be here, so you might be one of the scorers. And that means we still have like two, we need at least five people to review the projects and score them. That in that case, if we have a tie, So we can just have a break. So we will just solicit 2 more volunteers. I try to volunteer Kayla because there are bike path projects involved. So you don't want to give all your scores to highway projects.
I already volunteered myself yesterday.
So. Okay. So we just need 1 more volunteer.
I'd be happy to, Ikota.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you, Michelle. This time we didn't receive requests because previously we actually received some application requests from City of Savannah. So this time I was expecting Middle Ground Road, but I didn't see it. But City is utilizing the GDOT call for projects. So hopefully we will get some money over there. And CAT, we normally give them some money for bus purchase. But since they're going through this reorganization, they don't have staff members to work on this. And then also, I know this block's money is their local match. They probably don't have the local match. So they probably cannot apply. So we hope that some new members, will get used to it and then learn this process and then just, start to apply for the funds, in the future. So this time, the reason that we are willing to give Effingham County additional days to finish up or submit additional information is because they are new, so they really don't know the process yet. So we'll just give them a little bit more time.
We appreciate that.
Yeah.
Quick question about the lab certification. Since Effingham's in the process, I mean, do I just need to submit a letter saying that Effingham County is in the process and some documentation of that? Would that be sufficient?
Yeah. For Chatham County, they submitted the GDOT letter to them say you are certified. But if you have something from GDOT that says that you're in the process or something,
we'll work on figuring out who needs to send it, but we'll get something.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, actually, Pooler got certified, but it didn't get included. So I suggest that Leon, so in the future, make sure that you add that letter from GDOT. Okay, any more questions?
Okay. Thank you so much, Wakoda.
Thank you.
Up next, ETIP updates.
Okay, ETIP updates. You know, Melanie, myself, and Asia attended the AMPL conference, and so there were a lot of vendors over there, and so we did talk to some vendors, because previously we were only, we interviewed two, we had demonstration from two vendors, Workflow Manager and Eco Interactive, and then those were the only two that we were aware of. So when we went to the AMPL conference, we found out there are more vendors that provide the ETIP service. So we talked with them. And then we actually had some demonstrations last week and this week from the, some new vendors. And we are going to reach out to the users and to probably have the user demonstration. And then we will compile more notes. So we actually shared our original RFP language and then also the FHWA and the GDOT comments. So for them to provide some input. And so they did give us some input. So I'm just showing some over here. So basically we will just update our language based on the input that we collected from the vendors to revise our RFP. And one of the vendors actually also provided this, feedback just to see, okay, these are the FHWA and GDOT comments. So the vendors actually give us good suggestions, like for the deployment and the maintenance. So normally they do the first year deployment and you have like two more years for maintenance, and then with optional of two more years. And then also for the continuity, just to say probably add a contingency plan. See if you stop the service, how do you transfer the data, transfer all the information. Some of this is actually very easy to address, but some of those probably need a little bit more work. We are addressing, we want to see more demonstrations from the users and then compile the notes and actually collect all the good features from each vendor. So we would just get all the good features in the RFP in the scope to illustrate what we want. So ask them to fit this. I think we will probably revise RFP probably in December or February. So I think more feasible probably in February. We will have a more revised RFP.
Sounds good. Up next is the FY 2027 UPWP.
Okay. We did the call for plans and studies for the fiscal year 2027 UPWP. We did receive some new proposals. So in order for those studies to be included in the 2027 UPWP, we need two rounds of discussion by TCC. And this is the first round. So we will just go through some of the details. Some of the studies will be carried over from fiscal year 2026 UPWP to fiscal year 2027 UPWP. So you can see continued from 2026, we have a regional truck parking study. I want to roll that into the Quorum PO freight plan update. And the coastal region MPO, the previously resilience improvement plan, will still be carried forward. So we might pursue some funding like PROTECT because Anna stopped. Because the PROTECT was stopped, right? Yeah, so, but we might still pursue that. Islands Expressway between Truman Parkway and the US 80, Chatham County indicated they still want this one. And Ferguson Avenue from Diamond Causeway to Skidway Road, you still want this one. And La Roche Avenue from Jasmine Avenue to Bluff Drive, those were carried forward. City of Savannah has the Bay Street micro-simulation modeling, so I didn't receive any input on that, but I assume we will carry it forward. And then there are several transit-related studies, but right now we don't know who to coordinate with CAD because they don't have the planning staff member anymore, but we will carry those forward. So I will just talk about the new proposals. Even if the freight plan is not required, Quorum PO planning product, normally FHWA and GDOT wants us to update it every 5 years in concert with the Metropolitan Transportation Plan update. It takes at least 1.5 years to update. So we want to pursue that, but I do have a proposal. I will talk about that. Previously, we were not allowed to use consultants for the MTP update. So this time seems like FHWA is okay with us. So we do want to utilize some consultant work because we want to pursue some things that the staff doesn't have the resource to pursue. So we do want that. Urban Flood Models 3, this is the one that proposal from Melanie. She can talk about it. And then Michelle submitted this Cornfield Region Industrial Trip Generation Development, and I will talk about that later. And Chatham County submitted the new ones, I-95 Partial Interchange and Frontage Roads from Cargo Road to Little Neck Road. We will go into details. And Effingham County submitted Effingham Parkway North Extension Feasibility Study. So we will focus on the new plans and new submittals. So for the fleet plan, I have three different approaches. So we can do the full fleet plan update, or we can just do minor updates to the fleet plan because we only completed our last fleet plan in October 2023. So, but I do want to have a focus on the truck parking study. So I want to have a minor update to the fleet plan, but have a truck parking laid out all of that. And then the last one is just truck parking. So did have a contact from Cambridge who did our last fleet plan update. So I said, can you give me the cost estimates for all three different scenarios? So I'm still waiting for that information. But for this one, my cost estimates is based on the minor update to the fleet plan. I wouldn't say the minor update, but it's like update all the information that's happening after that we adopted the plan. But we do want to have a laid out this truck parking study included. So the truck mix study probably will be at least $200,000. Last fleet plan update was about $300,000. I talked with Cambridge during the AMPO conference. I said, if I want to do a minor update, they said at least $150,000. So I actually included $400,000 for this plan update. But we're going to have a coordination meeting with FHW and GDOT tomorrow to see whether they're okay with this approach. But right now I'm budgeting $400,000. My intention is to probably include this study into the fiscal year 2027 UPWP, and then the first round we will apply for the fund in September. So it will be 6 months on to do the RFP process. So probably kickoff will be in March. So that's for the fleet plan. Any comments on this one?
Previously, EDFAC handled the freight study.
Yes.
Do we still have EDFAC?
Well, normally we activate EDFAC during the freight plan update. Yes.
That was the only question I had.
Okay. Anyone over here? Okay. In that case, I will just move on to the long-range transportation plan update. So I think for the 2050 MTP, I summarized the minimum requirements that we would definitely do public involvement. So the MPO staff can do this part or the consultant can do this part. So depending on that, and then we will have the different cost estimate. We will update the goals and objectives. The consultant probably just coordinated with GDOT on the travel demand model development because GDOT is managing that. And also, different from previous years, GDOT will manage the socioeconomic data development. So we're not going to develop the SE data, but we will review the data to make sure, they're consistent. So this task will include review and revise the TAZs, review and provide input on the socioeconomic data for the base year and the opening year or what do we call that horizon year, and then also input review and provide input on the base network and calibrate the travel demand model, and also provide input on the different model output, different networks, the first network, second network, so to set the information. And another part that I do want them to, because we have reviewed a lot of the studies and plans for the 2050 MTP internally, but we will have some new ones that have been completed, because 2050 MTP was done, Sarapram will be done, non-motorized bicycle and pedestrian facility study will be done by that time. Urban flood model phase 1-2 will be done, urban flood US 80 corridor study phase 1-2 and the 3, the GDOT, considering GDOT portion, that will be phase 3. And US 17 corridor study that was done, 204 access study, should be done by that time. And President Street, Effingham County's master transportation plan. And then the GDOT is conducting Southeast Georgia commuter feasibility study. So, and then there will be a lot of comprehensive plan updates. So we do want those to be reviewed. Those would be additional information. And then as a part of this 2055 MTP update, we do want to, update the congestion management process, because previously CMP is a standalone document, but now the federal requirement is it can be a part of the MTP update. So probably that information will be dispersed into different chapters to say you identify the needs, identify the congestion locations and the strategies. So I do want to have a detailed TSMO plan and then also operational strategies. ITS strategies, TDM strategies. So I do want those outlined. So that means we will not only have set aside. So we have a set aside in the 2050 MTP, say operational improvements. So we will have what are operational improvements. Like, because for this call for project, I was talking with Jonathan. He wasn't sure the roundabout will be eligible. I said, yes, it's operational improvements. So we actually do want them to outline all of that, include all of that information. So under maintenance, what will be included? And so just define that a little bit more. Of course, it will be coordinated with the regional freight transportation plan update. Previously, I want to roll the freight plan update into that, but I think that will be probably at least $1 million. I don't think GDOT, we just gave one project that much money, so that's why we divided up. But it would definitely coordinate with that. And another thing that we would like to pursue is the land use, housing, and transportation integration. This is an IIJA requirement, but we were not able to meet that requirement for the 2050 MTP because we didn't have enough staff resources. But we do want to have that included as part of the update. And then, of course, the fiscally constrained plan developments, as we would talk about the revenues, updated project costs, review project status, and also develop the prioritization methodology and prioritize the projects, and then also a final report and documentation. Normally, the MTP update takes at least 2 years. So our plan is to probably apply for the funding in September. If we don't get it, at least we can apply for March. So that means we can start no later than September. So we will at least have 2 years to draft this plan. Any more things that you want to add?
No, I don't think we have anything to add.
Okay, thank you. And then I will just move on to the third one. Oh, for this one, I'm budgeting $500,000. The third one, urban flood model phase 3, I will let Melanie talk what she wants out of this study.
Basically, I was looking at making sure that we had additional detail for the new jurisdictions that came within the boundary, that we had a lot of that we had clear enough detail so that each one of the jurisdictions can utilize the model. During the second part, I wish I'd asked for more money because they would have given it to me at that time, and they told me to make sure I come back. But the ruling needs to be kind of like this whole additional education piece to show people how to use it, make sure we've captured all the new jurisdictions that have come in. So that's why we've got a phase three. It's not going to be a tremendous amount of money that we ask for, but it is something that will make sure that we've got a tool that everybody will be able to use and understand how to use. So that's the purpose of doing more outreach type stuff.
Yeah, the draft budget is $150,000 for this one. And then the next one, so we talked about this one previously, the Protect the Grant Resilience Improvement Plan. So if the Protect the Grant NOFO restarts, and we will apply for the funds. Islands Expressway, talked about that one before. Ferguson, okay. This is one that, this is a new request from Chatham Counties.
You want me to talk about it?
Yes.
So this is a project that's shown up on a few studies. It is an interchange on I-95 that has exits between Quaco and Little Neck. Because those roads are so close together and they fall in between, is it the 204 interchange and my brain won't let me remember the next interchange, but having one in that midway point and connecting it between the two roads and then also having a frontage road that connect them just to provide more connectivity in that region as the west side of Chatham continues to grow. And like I said, it's shown up in a few studies written there, the Southwestern Chatham County Sector Plan, and then again in the Chatham County Interstate Study in 2015. So just looking at maybe doing a study to look at that interchange a little bit more.
Okay. Based on our experience with Gampo, because Bartow MPO actually submitted the application, it was a more project, so it's like this. It was denied. So I think probably the funding source for this can be SDBG maybe. So make it eligible for the next round of call for projects. But if we submit this to the discretionary funds, it will get denied.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I will change the funding code probably to SDBG. So during our next round of call for project, this study might be eligible. Bay Street simulation, we already talked about this one before for City of Savannah. The new study, I will let Michelle to talk about this one.
So we're all regionally experiencing tremendous growth in warehousing and container stacking and intermodal freight complexes, auto shipping and exporting. The ITE trip gen manual for when we put out requests for new development to do a traffic impact study, we really feel like the trip generation is low. For example, the intermodal freight terminal, there are only two studies that developed nationwide that developed this, the trip gen. And so not just thinking about us, but Chatham County's impacted Port Wentworth, Garden City, Effingham County, Bryan County, we are all just getting inundated. And so would respectfully request that the MPO put out for a call for a study to develop some regional, and ITE recommends that you develop your own regional trip generation. We are just so very different being a port city, a port region, that it's just not the same as it is in Schenectady, and having those local trip generation numbers can help all of our various municipalities and counties with development and to show need for improved infrastructure and planning.
Okay, we are budgeting $150,000 for this, so we want to create something like trip generation rates specific to the Corumpio region, right?
Correct. Not the entire trip gen manual. It's really looking at warehousing, various types of warehousing, and the intermodal truck terminal, which falls under port the port designation. And we also have two other uses that are not in the TripGen manual. One is for container stacking. We are getting covered up in container stacking projects, developments, and auto salvage / shipping exporting. And those take up a lot of room, and they generate a lot of traffic.
The other thing, too, is if we move forward with this, I'm kind of used to it from other jurisdictions, we not only have this, but we've got this odd, to me, connection with regards to intensity of multifamily in areas that nobody anticipated it to be in relationship to where these warehouses are that is starting to be approved that also has an impact on the traffic. I mean, it's starting to create a lot of problems as well. It's not just this. So if we do this, I think that we need to also pick up high density development, because they're in areas where the city's annexed. They might not have been areas that the county expected to grow, but, you know, things happen. But we do need to have that information, you know, as well to go with that.
No argument here.
Okay, so we want to expand the scope?
I think that's perfectly reasonable. When you look out at Little Neck Road, the New Hampstead PUD, and some surrounding the PUD, there is a lot of multifamily that's going in, that's already gone up, that just by virtue of where it is commuter. It's not urban density. And forgive me, I can't speak for Effingham County or Port Wentworth or the other municipalities, but I'm sure that they're experiencing the same thing.
I can tell you that Port Wentworth has some high density projects that have gone in as well. And I would say that the densities in some of these areas are as intense as an urban area's density. We had one project that actually was a mixed use. So we basically had warehousing kind of on the front end with offices and apartments kind of in the back. So we're getting a lot of interesting use requests and mix of mix of uses with regards to how they interact with each other. And we definitely need to make sure we get some information on that. Yeah.
I just have a question. Is it possible for us to roll this into the next MTP update or fleet plan update? Or does it have to be a like standalone study?
I'm trying to remember, what's the next update? I mean, it's something that we really do need. I don't disagree with the request at all, because it's almost like decisions are being made on the warehousing as well as the multifamily without having this detail.
Okay.
So they're making these decisions without knowing what the overall costs are going to be to, you know, both the city and the county. Because in some cases, they're making these decisions and the county's having to deal with the road network, and there's some, you know, tension going on with that right now. So, you know, when's the next freight update? When is that update?
We want to apply for funds in September of next year.
I think actually though, having this is a fairly all things considered low budget request. It may go up with adding multifamily, but I think having that trip generation data would help with the freight plan.
I think that they go hand in hand. And to be honest, I don't know, or I don't really envision that multifamily component driving the cost up that much, because the bulk of it is going to be the warehousing. It's just that multifamily piece has creeped in, and we need to get that data, because people are, you know, they're transitioning. I've even got communities where they've had traditional single family detached, and they're coming in with higher density. So when you start getting all of that density, and I know that I've seen some of the same dynamics taking place over in the Port Wentworth area. It shouldn't drive the cost up that terribly much, but it's information that we need, to me, to be responsible for making, you know, decisions about other, you know, capital improvements that are needed in those areas.
So we will maintain it as a separate study.
I also feel like having it be separate will help with implementation for the municipalities to incorporate it into existing, like, criteria.
Okay. So, Michelle, are you going to update the language based on the input? Just the project description? Yeah, if we need to expand the scope of the cost estimate, just based on the input, we can add that.
I will put that on my list and get that to you in the next few days.
Okay, thank you. And then we will move on to this one. I will let Johnson talk about it. Effingham Parkway North Extension Feasibility Study.
Yeah, so this one, I think the timing's pretty good. The Effingham Parkway should be complete July next year. So seems like this is a great time to go ahead and do a feasibility study. It was in the Coastal Empire study and the Effingham County Transportation Plan as well. The Effingham County Transportation Plan did have it extending north of 119 to 21 to act as a true bypass, but due to the Corum PO boundaries, we wanted to stop at 119. We didn't want to include something outside the Corum PO boundary. But approximately 8 miles, you know, again, just helping to facilitate another alternative route away from 21, which is already congested. And yes, GDOT's working on a widening project for that, but I think it'll just continue to serve, you know, as a bypass route for freight rail.
Okay, we do have a budget for, this is a lot, $800,000. So I suspect this might be another one like Chatham County's request. So, but we will definitely include it as like to be SDBG funded. So that means for the next round of call for projects, it probably will be eligible. So you can apply for funding for that one. But if we submit to the Georgia Planning Funds Review Committee, they probably will shoot it down.
Okay.
But we can include,
go ahead and put it out there, I guess.
Yeah, we can include it in the UWP for the next call for projects. So those are all of the new proposals that we received. So we just went through our first round of discussion. We will revise the scope based on the input and then also probably have the coordination meeting with FHW and GDOT and then probably revise the scope for the freight plan and the MTP for those two as well, based on their input. And then we will come back to you in December to see what has been updated, what has been discussed. So this is just a status report, and thank you for your input.
Thank you, Wakoda. Up next is the Namadrash Transportation Plan.
Okay, so unlike the bicycle and pedestrian facility study, the Namadrash Transportation Plan is a fully core MPO project, so it's not a consultant-led project. And then also one of the benefits of this plan is that when projects are programmed in this plan, it makes them eligible for certain federal funds through the core MPO. So moving into the updates on this plan, so staff did meet with SAGES to discuss ArcGIS tools to use to evaluate projects. And they recommended creating a buffer around certain features and then seeing where the bike lanes and sidewalks and other non-motorized projects intersect with those buffers. So basically proximity to important resources or proximity to safety issues. Additionally, we welcomed a new team member, an intern, that's going to be helping with the completion of this plan. He's particularly interested in the public outreach piece of this. So then moving more into public outreach. So because this plan has kind of been stop, start, there's been pretty big gap between the last time we did public outreach and now. And so now we are taking suggestions in terms of how we should handle public outreach while we're trying to close out this plan. And we did receive comment from Croy Engineering that we can coordinate with them on doing some public outreach. But if anyone has any suggestions, we can also see if we can do some public outreach based on those suggestions as well. So to be dated is the target adoption date. So we're planning based on discussions that we had earlier this week to try to have it adopted in April 2026. So just basically completed throughout the winter. And so that ensures that it's done before the bike ped study is done and some of the other projects that we have going on. So that is basically the end of this report. So basically the next steps is the project evaluation, and we're going to be doing it a little bit different where we're not going to evaluate all 500 projects the same. And that's because some of those 500 projects, they had already been evaluated in previous plans, and I think it would probably take way too long to be able to do all 500. So we're going to do a safety evaluation of all the projects, all 500. But in terms of more specific ones, we're going to do a different evaluation for the newer ones that we've identified for the non-motorized plan. And are there any questions?
Thank you, Asia.
Mm-hmm.
Great. And then we have AMPO and GAMPO conference highlights.
Okay. So CORE MPO staff, we went to a couple of conferences this year. So one of them was the Association of Metropolitan Planning Organizations, and then there's also a Georgia Association of Metropolitan Planning Organizations conference. And so these conferences are a learning opportunity, so we learn about what other MPOs are doing and successfully implementing. So that can include what types of plans they're doing, what types of public outreach they're doing, what type of funding sources they're doing and they're using for their projects. And all other different types of information that we can learn. So from that, we created this kind of list of takeaways from that conference. And we also provided a link where everyone here can access all of those presentations. So I think these presentations are relevant outside of just MPOs. If you work in the transportation space or the local government space, I still think there are some really good presentations there. But just some general background on some of the takeaways is that one big focus was the new transportation legislation reauthorization. So the IIJA legislation, that will be coming to an end, I believe, in 2026 or so. And so right now we're in a phase of, especially AMPO is in a phase of trying to advocate for including certain things in whatever new legislation comes and replaces the IIJA. So that included a survey, and they have been really heavily involved in trying to impact that transportation legislation and really push for certain things. But that is coming up, a new transportation legislation, either reauthorization or maybe some new legislation. Also, there's kind of a growing disconnect between the U.S. Department of Transportation and MPO experiences. So when we were at the AMPO conference, some MPOs did talk about losing grants, losing them pretty suddenly, grants that they thought that they had secured. But under new funding priorities and federal priorities, some of these grants were taken back. So Waikato also mentioned the transportation planning and housing integration. We found that a lot of MPOs are also struggling to implement doing some type of planning between transportation planning and housing integration. So it's not just us. So everyone, I think, is still brainstorming on that. Additionally, I'll just move into the tip in MTP. So there are a lot of great sessions on the tip. And specifically using some type of database management. So a lot of MPOs, including ours, a lot of it is managed by Excel spreadsheets. But some MPOs are using actual database tech, so like an eTIP service. And then even some, like for the Rhode Island MPOs, they have statewide TIPS. So, or statewide STIPS, where all of the municipalities and MPOs can access that STIP. So it's some pretty interesting technology that they're using. Another big topic there was AI. So there's definitely more AI usage. One of which was Ecopia, which was one agency that had applied to do the bicycle and pedestrian facility study. But we saw what they were doing in some other communities. And then there was also a really huge session on digital twins. An MPO in Florida is basically creating a digital twin of their region. And so that is in one of the presentations. I suggest actually just going to that presentation and reading about it because it's too much for me to say right now. But it's definitely a huge undertaking, a lot of data, and it's probably very expensive. But for them, they are really excited about the project. And then for the Georgia Association of MPOs, so one big topic was our performance-based planning and programming. So we, MPOs, we adopt performance measures, and one of those measures are safety measures. So basically, what type of safety goals do we have? What types or how much reduction do we want to see in serious injuries and fatalities on our roadways? So one topic that was talked about was Vision Zero. And basically it was announced at GAMPO that for GDOT that they are adopting a Vision Zero mindset, a Vision Zero goal. But the horizon year to achieve Vision Zero is 80 years. So definitely was interesting to hear that. And then additionally, there are some free resources through GDOT, such as research, and that was something that we're pursuing right now, is trying to work with different universities like Kennesaw State University and GDOT to help with some of our research needs where maybe we don't have the staff capability to do that type of research. And then also a really big one is a free data source from GDOT called Revamp. And so Revamp is basically an inventory data study that GDOT did. So kind of like the bicycle and pedestrian facility study, this program also includes inventory on roadways, bike lanes, sidewalks, crosswalks, and even more than I've just listed now. So I would definitely would suggest checking out the Revamp data. And for your region, you can contact the Coastal Regional Commission to get access to that data. It's really expansive. And then just moving into studies, some of the important studies was the Atlanta to Savannah passenger rail study that's ongoing, and then the Southeast Georgia commuter feasibility study that's ongoing. But yes, that's the end of this report, and you can access all of this here at this link.
Thank you so much. I'm just curious, for GDOT's Vision Zero, did they talk about any methods for getting to Vision Zero on state routes, and does it include interstates?
So I actually don't know on the interstate part. I feel like it does, but I will have to go back and read my notes and see. So don't quote me on that. I'll have to go back and see. But in terms of the 80-year timeline horizon, they stated they had discussions. They didn't really say what discussions or what data sources they use, and that they had kind of landed on an 80-year timeline. So that information we just don't know much about.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Thank you. Any other questions for Asia? All right. Thank you so much. Up next, information reports, starting with GDOT project status.
Okay, for pre-construction status reports, I have number 117271. It's the widening and reconstruction of the Divergent Diamond on I-95 at State Route 21. And it's in concept, I think, November. They expect a concept report in November. And this report will connect to number 2. which is 20172. The widening reconstruction is State Route 21 from State Route 30 to 9th Street in Effingham. And it's also in concept and anticipating submission in the end of this month. Number three is 20173, the widening reconstruction of the connector from 17 to 30. And it's in an early concept. Number four is 20282, the grade separation between Dean Forest and US 80. And it's in an early concept. 17414 is, and 17415, that's Bull River and Lazaretta Creek. The next milestone is PFPR. I think they're, it was supposed to go down in September, but they're going to submit in October. And 18023 is the roundabout on State Route 30 at Hodgeville Road, and the next milestone is PFPR. They just reviewed the POH responses and anticipate submitting the package in October. 15704 is the bridge replacement on over Back River and twinned with the major widening on 404. And the next milestone is FFPR, anticipated in December. And then for construction projects, they're progressing, and I've listed the percent status updates.
Thank you so much. Any questions for Katie? All right, thanks. Up next, Chatham County. For this one, don't have any major updates for you all. Quokka Road is actively under construction. Really excited about that one. And the John Carter at Little Neck signal install, we've got signal heads up working on getting power out there. Are there any questions about any of the Chatham County projects? Up next, we've got City of Savannah.
And I'm just going to hit the high points. We recently received the preliminary Duran Congestion Relief Interim Project from Kimley Horn. It is under review. We are also working with GDOT on a quick response project to close the median on Duran between Montgomery and White Bluff. We did a review of crashes in there are a lot of people making left turns to go to the Captain D's. So we were asked them to close that median, and they are working on that. Delessence Avenue is 80% complete, and they anticipate being open to traffic by Thanksgiving. That is that they are ready to be done with it and anticipate that that is, a realistic timeline. Truman Linear Trail still on completion, schedule for completion in June of 2026. They have completed the concrete pours from Duran up to roughly East 56th Street and are also working on the concrete pours for the 52nd Street Bridge. Middle Ground Road tied to town. We've got the draft limited scope concept report and it's under review. Concept report team meeting on scheduled for October 21st, and the environmental resource information reports have been submitted to GDOT for review. And finally, the I-16 ramp removal. We met with consultants week before last to review initial concepts. We provided some feedback and are scheduled to meet and review updated concepts in the next several weeks.
Any questions for City of Savannah? Thank you. Anything from Chatham Area Transit?
Not this month, but they said next month they'll have more information.
Savannah Hilton Head International Airport? Okay. City of Port Wentworth? Georgia Ports Authority, Garden City, Pooler, Thunderbolt. Tybee Allen. Effingham County.
Yeah, I didn't upload anything, but just a little update from, I guess, last time was Gateway Parkway. We had our pre-construction meeting. We should have the right-of-way secured, hopefully within the next month. So that's exciting. We're anxious to get that road construction started for Gateway Parkway extension. And again, just numerous roundabouts on Hodgeville are underway. And then we do have a new roundabout that is out for bid design wise. It's going to be Highway 17 in Midland. That's currently out to bid with a few different firms. So we're excited about that. And so we'll be sending a letter to GDOT to notify them that we'll be starting a PFPR process here shortly. But just something to note. Other than that, that's really about it. No change from last time.
Thank you. Do we still have Rankin online?
Yes, I'm here, but I don't have anything this time. Thank you, though.
Bryan County? Richmond Hill? And then it doesn't look like we got a LATS update. All right. And then it looks like there is one notice attached, or no, two notice attached.
Yes, so the one, well, there's technically two, but the one that I want to highlight is the Southeast Georgia Commuter Feasibility Study Survey. So we provided a QR code and information on the survey, and you can share this on your social media or take the survey yourself. But it's basically about workforce transportation, especially for people that have trouble getting to work because they don't have a reliable vehicle. So, yes, you can share that. And WICOTA, for the record, WICOTA said that the deadline for the survey was extended until the end of October.
And then I know it's been mentioned a few times, the GDOT also has transportation alternative funds, and the deadline for that application, I think, is October 31st to apply directly to GDOT. So just wanted to let everyone be aware of that as well. Thank you all so much for coming. Our meeting is adjourned. Next meeting will be December 11th at 2 p.m.